You're listening to Edars.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دروش الله صلي وسلم صلى الله عليه وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, the scholars have mentioned that three features make jinns very different from human beings. Three features make the jinns very different from human beings. The first category is that the jinns are invisible. The jinns are invisible. The word jinnun in the Arabic language means something that is concealed. Something that is concealed. And so, jinns are a creation that as human beings we can't see them. Like how we have access to the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But jinns is a makhluk that human beings can't see. That is the one very salient feature of the jinns, that they are invisible. The second feature of the jinns that make them very different from insan, from human beings, is that the jinns have the ability to take up the shape and form of anything they want, human beings or animals. It's easy for them to clone into something, whatever they want. And so again, that is the advantage they have. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the first battle was fought with the mushrikeen of Makkah, the battle of Badr. During the battle of Badr, of course, Muslims were very few in numbers and the mushrikeen were many. What happened is that Shaitan came in the form of Suraka ibn Malik. Shaitan came in the form of Suraka ibn Malik. He came and he spoke with the leaders of the mushrikeen, the polytheists that were in Makkah Mukarrama, and he said to them that, look, don't be afraid. I am with you. I have my entire army and we will fight the Muslims side by side. So to the mushrikeen, this man was Suraka ibn Malik, but in reality it was a jinn, it was a shaitan. So he came in the form of this great warrior whose name is Suraka ibn Malik. He's a famous tracker. Later on he also became a Muslim. So Suraka bin Malik guaranteed them that, worry not, we are with you. So this gave a lot of confidence to the mushrikeen that it's going to be an easy battle, an easy fight. Khair, when the day came, the battle of the Badr, and all of the kuffar had lined up, the Muslimin were only 313. So the leaders turned to Suraka ibn Malik to see if he is there, and he was there. It is said that Suraka ibn Malik, the shaitan, when he turned his face, he saw that the malaika were descending from the heavens to aid and support the Muslims. So you had the jinns with the mushrikeen who were kuffar, shaitan. And you had the malaika that were in the ranks of the Muslimin during the battle of Badr. So when this shaitan in the form of Suraqa ibn Malik, when he saw that the malaika were descending from the heavens, he looked at the mushrikeen and he quickly with his army, his entire army, they fled the battlefield. And the mushrikeen were saying, where are you going, Suraqa? Where are you going? What is happening to you? Why do you abandon us in the battlefield? You abandon us in the battlefield. So he said, Inni ara ma la tarawna. Inni ara ma la tarawna. This is a verse of the Quran. He said, look, you don't see what I see. You don't see what I see. Aaj tumhari khair mit jayegi. Aaj tumhari khair mit jayegi. You don't see what I see. Who can fight the malaika, the angels? That is why Sahaba Ikram Ajma'in said, during the battle of Badr, we would just lift up the sword, and the next thing we would see is that smoke was coming out from the mushrikeen that were there. The entire body that was decapitated was burning. Flames were coming out. That was the malaika assisting the companions. And so he left. Suraqa ibn Malik left. It was actually the shaitan. And so here we see that the shayateen can also see the angels, the malaika. So this is just again one example that comes to mind, that the shaitan have this ability that they can take the form and shape of anything they want, human beings, animals, anything whatsoever. And thirdly, the scholars have mentioned that if a person can trap the shaitan or the jinn, for example, you have the amilin who trap the shaitan or the jinn, then the jinn, if you put in front of him the name of Allah, or give him an oath by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, generally he has no choice but to speak the truth. So this is how actually the amilin, the practitioners who work with the shayateen or with the jinns, they manage to take out the jinns from the human beings. So to take it out, what they do is that they have amaliyat, and an oath is given to them. So generally, ulama have mentioned that when you give them an oath, they have no choice but to speak the truth. But again, this is done by qualified individuals. We need to understand that the reason we don't have pictures of shayateen and this makhluk, Satan or devils, is very simple, because it is an invisible makhluk. You can't see the jinns. And so in reality there is no depiction of how the shaitan or the jinns look like. In the Middle Ages, the Christians, they would say that the devil or Satan was black-skinned. What was he? Funny, isn't it? Because Tarzan, the king of the jungle, was white-skinned. So Tarzan was white-skinned, but Satan is black-skinned. You know, so you have racism in different shades and colors. But khair, they had this picture that Satan was black-skinned with a pointed beard and with flames emitting from the mouth and eyebrows that were raised up and with two horns. Can you picture that? So this was their sort of mental picture of how a Satan would look like. So wallahu alam, no one really knows how a jinn looks like. Of course, when it takes the form of a human being, when you look at that person, it is actually that human being, but the jinn is inside it. So you can't actually see how a jinn looks like. However, in the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has explained to us and has given us some understanding of how a jinn looks like or how a shaitan looks like. Remember, when we refer to jinns, we have jinns that are Muslims and we have jinns that are not Muslims, non-Muslims. And so those that have turned away from Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, generally the name that is given to them is shaitan. What is it? Shaitan. And shaitan, when he went against the command of Allah, the order of Allah, another name that was given to him was Iblis. So when Allah said that do sajda to Adam alayhi salatu was salam, he said no. And so at that time, the name that was given to him also is Iblis. So Iblis or Shaitan. Generally when we talk about shayateen, it is the makhluk of jinns which are non-Muslims. And so we need to understand that. In the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, and this hadith is recorded in the Sahih of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an is the narrator. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that do not seek to pray when the sun is setting or when the sun is rising. Do not seek to pray when the sun is rising or when the sun is setting. Why? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, because the sun sets or the sun rises between the two horns of shaitan. Between the two horns of shaitan. So from this hadith, the muhaddiseen have said, we know that the shaitan has got two horns. The shaitan has got two horns. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said this. So don't pray when the sun is setting or when the sun is rising. Now we need to understand the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is actually referring to the practice of the mushrikeen in the Arabian Peninsula. The mushrikeen were people that worshipped everything, the idols and also the sun. So the sun was also a god for them, aliyazu billah. And so what the mushrikeen would do is that when the sun would rise or when the sun would set, they would want to worship the sun. They would want to worship the sun. So shaitan, what he would do is that he would very quickly suspend himself towards the horizon and he would bloat himself up, lifting up his head and making sure that his head is up towards the heavens, and he would make an announcement to the people that were around him, to the shayateen, that look, these are the people who give us sajda and they are worshipping us. So this is what is meant by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that when the sun rises, this is what the shaitan does. That he bloats himself up and he pulls his head up, making sure that the horns are pointing up towards the heavens. And so when the sun is setting or rising, he says to the people, you see, these are the people who obey us. These are the people who worship us. And so the mushrikeen, this was their habit. Mushrikeen, they would do sajda when the sun would rise and when the sun would set. And so that is why the scholars, the fuqaha, have mentioned that be very careful that when the sun is setting or when the sun rises, make sure no one prays any salah, not your farz salah and not even your nafal salah. So from the hadith we learn that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given us some description that the shaitan has two horns. Also another hadith, same hadith which is in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, same sahabi is the narrator, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an is the narrator. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whilst explaining the trials and tribulations that will affect all of humanity, he said that this will start from the east. He said fitna will be from the east. Ala wahiya al-fitna, ala wahiya al-fitna. And so he was pointing towards the east. And he said fitna will come from the east. Fitna will come from the east. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that is where the shaitan will lift up his head and lift up his horns. That is where the shaitan will lift up his horns. As in, this is where the shaitan will do all his works. So this is the meaning of the hadith. Khair, what the muhaddiseen have taken out from the hadith is that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, the shaitan has two horns. So that must be noted. Shaitan has got two horns. Another very sort of, not a graphic description of the shaitan, but a scene of shaitan that is given to us is in the verses of Surah Safat. Surah Safat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Safat talks about shaitan. And it's very important that we understand the verses of Surah Safat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning speaks about Jannah in Surah Safat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up Jannah in Surah Safat, the delights of Jannah and all the enjoyment that individuals will receive when they enter Jannah, insha'Allah. Allah give us Jannah. And then thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Jahannam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Safat says to the believers, أَذَلِكَ خَيْرُ النُّزُلَ أَمْ شَجَرَةُ الزَّكُّومِ, that is this, as in the blissful paradise that Allah has described in front of you in Surah Safat, is this a better hospitality that is in front of you, or is it that you people are going towards the zakkum tree? Or is it that you people are going close to the zakkum tree? Am shajaratu zakkum. Allahu Akbar. And so Allah give us Jannah. In this ayat-i kareema, the mufassireen have mentioned, of course, a person who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his final destination will be Jannah. But someone who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is doomed and he will go to Jahannam. And in Jahannam, from the many punishments that are there, really, as individuals, we can't understand the true description of Jannah. And we can't even understand how Jahannam will be like. If we can't understand Jannah, we can't understand Jahannam. So you will have different punishments also in Jahannam, just like you have different levels in Jannah. The highest will be with the Anbiya, alayhi musallatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned one tree, and the name of that tree is Zakkum. Zara yaad rakhe. Am shajaratuz Zakkum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهَا شَجَرَةٌ, that this zakkum shajara is a tree, تَخْرُجُ فِي أَصْلِ الْجَحِيمِ, and this tree is located, it comes from the very deep side of Jahannam. It comes from the very deep side of Jahannam, as in the core of Jahannam. So the roots of this tree is embedded, the roots are so low down that it is towards the core of Jahannam. You see, when you have a tree in this dunya, it's easy to chop the tree, and even if you dig, there's a possibility that you'll get to the roots. But this is such a tree, Allah is saying, that it goes all the way down into Jahannam, all the way down into Jahannam. And by this tree, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish the people who go to Jahannam. And so Allah first says, إِنَّهَا شَجَرَةٌ تَخْرُجُ فِي أَصْلِ الْجَحِيمِ. And then Allah says, طَلْعُهَا كَأَنَّهُ رُؤُوسُ الشَّيَاطِينِ. طَلْعُهَا كَأَنَّهُ رُؤُوسُ الشَّيَاطِينِ. طَلْعُهَا means the fruits of this tree, the fruits of the tree are like the heads of shayateen. The fruits of the tree will be like the heads of shaitan. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we can't even fathom how Jannat will be. So how can we fathom how Jahannam will be? But Allah is saying that the fruits will be like the heads of shaitan. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَآكِلُونَ مِنْهَا فَمَالِئُونَ مِنْهَا الْبُطُونَ. And they will have no choice but to eat from it. فَمَالِئُونَ means they will have to fill their bellies with it. So the people who go in Jahannam, they have no choice. Allah save us. They will have to eat from this, and they will have to fill their bellies with these fruits. ثُمَّ إِنَّ لَهُمْ عَلَيْهَا لَشَوْبًا مِّنْ حَمِيمٍ. And then thereafter, on top of that, there will be a mixture. لَشَوْبًا, there will be a mixture, حَمِيمٍ, of something. حَمِيمٍ means of boiling water. Of boiling water. Now, this ayat-e kareema, respected brothers, what we need to understand is that the first thing is that this tree is a repulsive tree in Jahannam, and Allah will punish the people in Jahannam by this tree. And the branches of this tree will stretch out in every direction. The branches will stretch out in every direction. And the roots of this tree is deep into Jahannam, into the core of Jahannam. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this tree is from Jahannam is when this ayat-i kareema was revealed, Abu Jahl, the man of great pride and arrogance, he went to his people and he said, look at Muhammad aliyaz billah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Muhammad wants to scare the people by saying that you will be punished in Jahannam by the Zakkum tree. By the Zakkum tree. This is what his Quran is saying. That you will be punished by the Zakkum tree. And he said to the people, let me tell you what is Zakkum. In Arabia, there was a date tree that was known as Zakkum. And so he said, go and get me the dates of Zakkum. So they got for him Zakkum, and usually these dates were eaten in a way that you dip them first in ghee or butter. You dip them first in ghee or butter. Now you got water in your mouth, Umar Sahab, there's a smile. Huh? So how they would eat is that you have ghee or butter and you dip it in that and then you put it in your mouth. So Abu Jahl started eating with ghee or butter that was there, and he said to the people in arrogance, I am eating zakkum, aliyazu billah, challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am eating zakkum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one line said, that is the zakkum of your dunya. This is the zakkum that is nurtured in Jahannam. So he was making a mockery that how can a tree survive in Jahannam where there's fire everywhere. Fire will eat the tree. It will incinerate the tree. Allah is saying that this tree is made in Jahannam. It is nurtured by Jahannam. It is nurtured by Jahannam. And so ulama have mentioned that because these individuals obeyed shaitan, it was time for Fajr, it was time for Zuhr, it was time for Asr. And the Muazzin said, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al falah. The shaitan said, don't worry, do this and do that. They would make their namaz qadha. They would commit sins. They disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or they did kufr, aliyazu billah. And they followed shaitan. So as a reminder, Allah is saying, as you go in Jahannam, look at the heads of shaitan that is hanging on the zakkum tree. This is the shaitan that you liked in dunya. This is who you obeyed. The malaika came, the anbiya came, the prophets came, they reminded you, فَاتَّخِذُهُ عَدُوَّا, that makes shaitan your enemy. Look at the heads of these shayateen. It is said that they will feel so hungry, they will have no choice but to pick the fruits of zakkum and to eat. And so this entire batch of people, collectively, they will pick up zakkum, the fruits that look like shaitan, and they will eat zakkum. Ulama have mentioned that when this fruit or food enters the stomach as it goes inside, that is why, my respected brothers, make tawbah. Anybody who has done zina, fornication, adultery, do tawbah. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody who is having relationship which is unlawful, make tawbah. Anybody who is doing zina with the eyes, make tawbah. Maybe somebody feels nobody is watching me, but Allah is watching you. There is someone there who is watching you, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that is in you, you and Allah know best. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't follow shaitan. Shaitan will put the wasavis in you. Do haram and do guna and do sins. But turn away from shaitan. Turn away from shaitan. And it is said that when this food goes inside, it will churn into boiling oil. It will churn into boiling oil. Imagine boiling oil that is cooking and boiling inside your stomach. And it will boil in such a way that it will rip apart its entire inner organs. Allahu Akbar. And this cycle will be repeated all the time. This cycle will be repeated all the time. It is said they will scream, but who will assist them? Who will assist them? So this is what the Quran is saying, that think, be intelligent people. Isn't Jannah the best option for you? Or is it that you people are heading towards the Zakkum tree? Are you people going towards the Zakkum tree and you turn away from the Jannah that I promise? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat kareema is saying, and this is an imaginative simile. It is an imaginative simile, giving you an example that the fruits are so ugly, like the heads of shaitan. The heads of shaitan. So what we understand is shaitan is very, very ugly. So from the Quran, what information we take is if somebody asks you how a shaitan looks like, wallahu a'lam. But the more a person is pious, the more nurani his face is, the more light there is piety. A human being, mashallah, you see a Muslim, there is nur on his face, no matter who he is. But when you turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that nur is taken away. So shaitan is very, very ugly. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that something that is ugly has been described for the zakkum fruits, and Allah chose the heads of shayateen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us, my respected brothers. So what we know is shaitan is very, very ugly, and the shaitan has got two horns. That is mentioned in the hadith, and also in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Safat. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah give us the guidance, and that we go to Jannah.
Ameen.
Allah save us from Jahannam.
Ameen.
Allah save us from the punishment of Qabr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the straight path.
Ameen.
Khair, ulama have mentioned that the jinns generally have a very long life also. Death comes to them, but they have a very long life. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, from amongst all the companions, he is one man who killed a jinn. What did he do? He is one man who also killed a jinn. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, what a warrior he was. Anyone who came in front of him. It is said, and really this is written in the books of Tariq, that from amongst Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'in, it was Khalid bin Walid who killed a shaitan. Who killed a shaitan. So that was Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala. But ulama have mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Kullu man alayha fan. Death comes to everybody. And there is a hadith where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, death comes upon Banu Adam and also upon the jinn. So death will come. However, they have a very long life. The lifespan of a jinn is very, very long. Just to give you an example, Hazrat Sahal ibn Abdullah, and this story is narrated by Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi in his kitab, Kitab al-Safwah. And he says that Hazrat Sahal ibn Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala an, he says that whilst traveling towards the locality of Qawm Aad, the locality of Qawm Aad, he came towards this city, and there was no one there in this city. He describes the city to be made of huge stone blocks, made of huge stone blocks. And he was the only man there at that time, traveling. And he says, as I was walking past Qawm Aad, on one side I saw this huge mansion, a building, a house. So I decided, let me go towards the house, maybe I might meet someone. And he says, so as I went towards the courtyard of this mansion, to one side I saw a man who was extremely tall, very, very tall. And he had this jabba that had draped his entire body, that had covered him completely. And his back was towards me. So Hazrat Sa'd bin Abdullah is saying, what kind of a human being is he? Such a huge, tall individual. What a man. And his face was, his back was towards Hazrat Sa'd bin Abdullah. So Hazrat Sa'd bin Abdullah said that there is no one here, let me go and meet him. So Hazrat Sa'd bin Abdullah from behind said to him, As-salamu alaykum. So this man responded by saying, Wa alaykum salam. And he said, by the voice, I felt that maybe this man was not a human being. And Hazrat Sa'd bin Abdullah got a bit scared. So then he turned around towards him. So when he looked at Hazrat Sa'd bin Abdullah, Hazrat Sahal says that he was an old man. What was he? A very old man, but very strong, very powerful, physically very strong, tall man, but old. And standing in front of him, this man knew that I was scared of him. This man knew that I was scared of him. So this man then said to me, in Arabic, speaking in Arabic, said to me, don't be scared of me. I will bring no harm to you. And he said, you are a human being, you are an insan, and I am a jinn. And I am a jinn. So for the first time, Hazrat Sa'd bin Abdullah met a jinn, and this jabba that he was wearing was a very beautiful jabba. Very beautiful jabba. So Hazrat Sa'd bin Abdullah says that you have this beautiful jabba on. He says, yeah. And let me tell you, the story why I'm wearing this jabba. I have worn this jabba for 700 years. How many years? I have worn this jabba for 700 years. And he said to Sahal ibn Abdullah, that let me tell you, that the clothes don't become napak, impure, because of the dirt that is on the clothes, but the clothes become napak when you disobey Allah. When you disobey Allah. So you see that element of Sufism and tasawwuf that was in this jinn also. And he's talking at that very high spiritual level. He's saying that your clothes are not napak or impure because of the dirt that is there, but rather because if you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that I will never take off this jabba until death comes to me. He said there is a reason for that. He said, I have put on this jabba now for more than 700 years. With this jabba, I met the Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Who did he meet? Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And I met Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, I spoke with him. And with this jabba, I met Khatamun Nabiyyin Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, I am one amongst the jinns that are mentioned in Surah Jinn who embraced Islam at the hands of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. Imagine that. I am one amongst the group of jinns that are mentioned in Surah Jinn. In Surah Jinn. That had embraced Islam at the hands of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I am one of them. And so Hazrat Sa'd bin Abdullah was shocked to hear this. Allahu Akbar. That this man had, this jinn had an opportunity to meet up with Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And also Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so we see, mashallah, that generally the jinns, the shayateen, they have a very long lifespan. Inshallah ta'ala, as we cover many important relevant topics that are related to the jinns, inshallah, I will also speak about a lot of the stories that have been mentioned of great scholars and awliyaullah meeting the jinns and their age and whatever occurred between these great individuals, inshallah ta'ala. Allah hareeku tawfiq de. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم توفنا مسلما والحقنا بالصالحين يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم قرآن کریم کی برکت سے یا اللہ ہمیں جنت نصیب فرما اللہ ہمیں جنت نصیب فرما اللہ ہمیں جنت نصیب فرما اللہ جہنم سے ہماری حفاظت فرما اللہ زقوم سے ہماری حفاظت اللہ زقوم سے ہماری حفاظت فرما یا اللہ جہنم کی آگ سے ہماری حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہمیں جنت دے دے اللہ بلا حساب و کتاب وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلق محمد و علی آلہ و اصحابہ و ازواجہ و ذریاتہ و اہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین